Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This week's Torah portion is called Emor. It is Leviticus chapter 21, starting at verse 1 to 24, verse 23. The Haftarah is Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 15 to 31, and the Brit Hadashah is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Abba, we thank you and praise you that you have called us and given us this mandate to keep your Torah, to keep your Sabbaths, to obey everything that you have told us to obey so that we may draw closer to you. And Abba, I pray that whatever words I say that are not from you, that you would not let them flourish, that only your words would flourish. I ask that you would protect your people Israel, wherever they are on the planet. Bless those people who are keeping the Torah, who are celebrating your Sabbath today. In the name of Yeshua, amen. I'm calling this Torah portion, Profanity, Death, Hell, Stones, and Fire. This week's Torah portion are the instructions to the priests and to the high priest. We've been getting instructions to the people, but now we are getting the instructions to the priests. And those instructions are different. The instructions to the people, the priests are included in those instructions as well. But then there are other instructions for just the priests and the high priest. And so we're going to go over that in this Torah portion. The priests have a duty to instruct the people about the difference between what is profane and what is holy. This Torah portion uses that word profane. In Hebrew, it is halal. It uses that word a lot. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 44 and start at verse 15, because this is part of our Torah portion as the Haftarah, but it also is very relevant to a point that I'm going to make. Ezekiel 44:15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, keep that in mind, this is for the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. That's the garments of the bride. It's also the garments of the priesthood. And no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered. In other words, when they're ministering to Yeshua, they will be dressed in their uniform, their bride's or their priestly garment. But when they're before the people, they will not dress in the bride or priestly garments. And lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. They're not allowed to wear those garments before the people. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. In other words, we're going to talk about the shaving of the heads and what that means. They're not to have long hair either. They're to poll their heads. And what that means in Old English is that they're, to cut their hair. They're to have a haircut. They're not to be bald, and they're not to have their hair growing long like the ancient Gentiles used to do, where the men let their hair grow long and then it would come down in front of their faces as a veil, or hang down at the sides as a veil when they were worshiping the pagan gods and goddesses. Verse 21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court, neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach the people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Now, you'll notice here that there are a lot of future commandments that the priests that serve Yeshua are going to be doing, which are like the commandments that appear in this Torah portion. But most notably, this priesthood, the sons of Zadok, will teach the people the difference between the holy and profane, and will cause the people to understand and to be able to discern the difference between unclean and clean. This thing about unclean and clean, tahor and tameh, is so important to the Lord that they have a mandate in the future millennial kingdom to make sure that people truly understand the difference between unclean and clean. And not only that, but this priesthood, the sons of Zadok priesthood, the ones who are of the Levites, but they're the sons of Zadok, in controversy, they will be the judges. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit here about the sons of Zadok in a minute. But I want to talk about the Levites who are not from Zadok first. Those Levites who are not from Zadok are relegated to doing the sacrifices for the people. They don't get to teach. They're just there to provide the service. And we're going to read in Ezekiel chapter 44, starting at verse 10, why that is. Now, this is not part of the Haftarah, but it's relevant to understanding what the Lord is going to do with the priesthood in the future. And in verse 10 it says, "And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity." Now we're going to read in Numbers chapter 18 about the priesthood bearing their iniquity. And here we're finding that the Lord doesn't issue idle words. He says, when you're going to bear your iniquity, if you do this, you will bear this iniquity. That's what he means. "Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, says the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity." There we have it again. "And they shall not come near to me to do the office of a priest to me, nor come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein." It's almost as if what we're finding here in the millennium is that there's not going to be one person relegated to being able to go into the inner court, which is the Holy of Holies, where the Lord is. Back in the day, only the high priest could enter, and he could only enter once a year. But in chapter 44 starting, or in Ezekiel 44 starting at verse 15, we find that there's going to be priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok. It's a plural. It's a group of children of Israel who do not get relegated to the outer courts. This group in the millennium, it appears to me, gets to go in together and serve the Lord from within. It's not relegated to just one person, one man. And so we see that there is a select group of believers, call them priests, in the millennium who get to come near to the Lord, and those who do not get to come near to the Lord during that time. There is, however, I believe, a connection between the sons of Zadok and the house of Israel. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and start at verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherefore it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. I personally believe that this cornerstone, this elect, and this one that is precious, these are the group that will join with the sons of Zadok, who are out of the line of the Levites through Phinehas, Pinchas. And I believe that we will join in that group that serves Yeshua. Verse 7, Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to talk about this royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. In the Lord's plan A, he intended for all 12 tribes to be priests to the nations. And they rejected that. The only tribe that stepped up to the plate when the heat was on were the Levites. That's why they got the Levitical priesthood. But the Lord's plan A is always the Lord's plan A, and he will have his plan A, and he will have a royal priesthood, which is a holy nation. The whole nation will be the priesthood and will be a peculiar people to him. These are the same words that were said back there in Exodus. So the Lord is going to have his plan A. The 12 tribes will have representatives as priests. The whole nation of Israel will be a holy nation of priests, and we will be called a peculiar people. Now, that brings up the question, who are the nations that they're going to serve? Because we've been taught that in the kingdom that there won't be anybody else but this royal priesthood, this holy nation, and peculiar people. That just ain't so. The Lord says that during his millennial reign, when we bring our brothers from among the Gentiles, he will choose from those people priests to serve him. So the Lord works in processes, not in events. And the process of selection of priests will continue through the millennium. What is beyond the millennium, I have not a clue. The point that I'm trying to make through all of this explanation is that we in the house of Israel need to make it an imperative to refrain from profaning the Lord's name. One of the ways in this Torah portion that we profane the Lord's name is not only by not observing the laws of clean and unclean. It's also about who we marry. This is why when people ask me about divorce and remarriage, I always tell them that divorce is legal under Moses because of the hardness of our hearts. But it would be better for us to not remarry. And so, you know, we have that instruction for the Levite priests in this Torah portion. And while some people will object that I'm trying to make us all into Levite priests, that's not my point. But my point is that we need to practice not profaning the Lord's name by doing any of the things that he says profane his name, even those things among the priesthood. Now, the priests, as you know, were permitted to do things that the high priest could not do. We're going to discuss those a little bit later on. So let's get on with all of that. We need to understand, though, first in this Torah portion, who it is that the Lord is talking to. In Acharei Mot and Kedeshim, in Tazria and Metzora, he was talking to the whole assembly. And as I said in the beginning of this Torah portion, what the Lord told that assembly also does apply to the priests. But Emor is, there are instructions in here again for the assembly later on in this Torah portion. But in the first chapter of Emor, in chapter 21, the Lord is now singling out the priests for a more refined understanding of what it means to profane his name, and he is calling them to perform at a higher level. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people, but for his kin that is near to him, that is, for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, for his brother, for his sister, a virgin that is near to him, which has had no husband, for her he may be defiled. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself." Now, this injunction about not going near the dead is, I think, a good one for us to remember, because one of the things that we like to do is when somebody dies, we all want to run off to the funeral home. I, for one, have never been comfortable with that. And when I read this, I thought, you know, I want to serve Yeshua in the kingdom. Now, whether I'll get to or not is another story, but that's my heart's desire. Maybe I should be practicing these rules for the priesthood while I'm just rehearsing everything else. Maybe because what we do is we say, well, we're practicing these things even though we don't have the temple, you know, we can't do all the things, but we're practicing. These are our rehearsals. Well, are you rehearsing to be in the kingdom, or are you rehearsing to serve Yeshua in his temple? And so I am not telling anyone that this is what they need to do. I'm telling you that that's what I'm considering doing, that I think that perhaps we need to adopt some of these things that the priesthood does so that we can be counted among those who will become priests in the kingdom. Verse 21, verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. So we have the 7 days that are set aside for mourning. Now, when Moses died, there were 30 days of mourning. But we're not to be cutting ourselves or shaving our heads as a sign of mourning. That's a Gentile practice. And remember, in Ezekiel chapter 44, we learn about they're not supposed to shave their head or let their hair grow long, because those are Gentile practices. And in particular, the shaving and cutting are signs of mourning. We need to remember that Jehovah is the God of the living, not the dead. And, you know, it takes longer than 7 days for hair to grow back or nails to grow back, etc. And when you cut yourself as a sign of mourning, that leaves a permanent mark on your body. That's why the Lord doesn't like us to mark our bodies with tattoos. We are not to mark ourselves in any way, because that is the Lord's prerogative to mark us. We get into trouble when we mark ourselves. And then, of course, there is that infamous mark called the mark of the beast. Now, let's look at a couple of ways that the instructions to the priests and the people are the same. In Leviticus chapter 21, verse 6, they shall be holy to their God, and not profane or kalal the name of their God, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. Of course, this has to do with them having charge over the fire offerings. Okay, that's why they are not to profane the name of the Lord. But let's see what he says about the people not profaning his name. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he said, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that you should be mine." And in verse 3 of that same chapter, he said, "I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." This also has to do with the offerings that people do to their gods. And so the similarity between the profaning that could be done by the priests and the profaning that could be done by the people has to do with the kind of offering you bring. Is your offering to another god? Are you offering over there in your backyard? The Lord says if you're doing that, you're offering to another god. See? And so it has to do with which god the people are offering to when it regards profaning by the people. It regards the fire offerings and how the priests carry that out when it is regarding the priesthood. And as a matter of fact, we saw in the previous Torah portions a few weeks ago that Nadav and Abihu did not bring the offering the way that the Lord told them to. They profaned his name, and therefore he cut them off with his fire. So, to reiterate, the instructions that are given to the priests and to the people are very similar a lot of the time. The priests have additional or more instructions, and of course they have all of those from the General Assembly plus their own. And of course this principle also applies to the principle of teachers, in which we understand that teachers and prophets and ministers of all kinds who are called into service have greater responsibility and greater accountability, just like the priests have. Which brings me back to my point of the suggestion that if the Lord lays it on your heart to up your responsibility and up your accountability and to start practicing and rehearsing doing these instructions as much as possible that the priests are called to do, in order for you to show that you are ready and willing and capable of taking on that responsibility. I'm just saying, maybe it's time for us to start stepping up to that plate. You may disagree with me, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. Now, let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, and we're going to read another way that the people profane the Lord's name. And that's back in the last Torah portion at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord your God, which sanctifies you. When we get involved with doing the things that witches do, that Gentiles do in their worship of their gods, familiar spirits, we're whoring. And whoring is a way to profane the name of the Lord. We need to avoid all of that kind of activity. What is the purpose of the Lord making the distinctions between the high priest and the other priests, between the priesthood and the people, and between the Lord's people and other people? Well, it's a way for us to understand that there are levels of closeness to the Lord. And so if we want to be at the highest level in that inner circle, then I think we need to do more to step up to the plate and do more of the weightier matters and learn to be more servant-hearted toward each other and kinder toward each other, and avoid doing the things that the Lord said the priests would be profaned over. And so that's my little spiel about distinctions. Now let's go on to Leviticus chapter 21, verse 9. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profanes her father. She shall be burnt with fire. This one is a little bit hard for us to understand, why the daughter of a priest would get this kind of punishment. Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit. In one of my other Torah portions a long time ago, I explained how that the children of Israel fulfill many feminine roles. One role is that of bride or wife. Another role is that of daughter. Yeshua is our priest, and we can be called his daughter. We can be called his bride. Also, we can be called his sister. There are many feminine. This is kind of deep because it's hard to understand that in the Song of Solomon, and I've talked about this before, how his wife or spouse and his sister are the same person. We're talking about spiritual concepts here. Things that don't happen in the flesh. And so when we look at this scripture about the daughter of the priest being burnt with fire, we need to take a look at exactly what that is. Now, in those days when we people rendered this judgment, she wasn't burned alive with fire. I'm going to show that to you here in a minute. She was first stoned and then burned. She also, because she was burned, she was not buried. In other words, cremation, which is the final result, you know, that pile of ashes is the final result of burning, indicates that there has been the worst kind of profaning of the Lord's name. And so let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." You'll notice that this daughter of Israel that profaned herself before the Lord by playing the whore with the idol, it was a man by the name of Achan or Achan. And so when we deal with these things, we have to understand, are we dealing with men and women, male, female, or feminine, masculine? When you get into those other levels, sometimes we're talking about aspects of our reality that go deeper than just the surface. And this is one of those times. Achan was not even a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah. Yet, this burning was done to Achan. And I believe it was the same as using the principle of the daughter profaning herself by playing the whore. Do you see the connection there? It's a spiritual connection. And sometimes the spiritual connections affect the physical man, like it did Achan. The other thing we need to understand is that stones and fire go together. The reason we need to understand that is so that we will understand that this daughter of the priest who profaned herself by playing the whore was not burned alive. She was stoned, just the way that Joshua and all Israel stoned Achan and his children and everything that he had, and then they burnt them. Stones and fire go together. In Psalm 11, verse 6, it says, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest shall be the portion of their cup." In Psalm 18, verse 13, it says, "The Lord has also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hail stones and coals of fire." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 30 says, "The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hail stones." You see, the reason for the burning after the stoning, and the reason for the stones and the fire to go together, is because fire is a purifier. The stones are the killers. The fire is the purifier, and it purifies from the worst kind of defilements. It happens when water is not enough to restore the tahor, or the cleanness, among the people. And keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is represented by both water and fire. And we can recover from water as a punishment, because water in baptism, that is an acting out, as it were. You're acting out your punishment of death by water, but you come up out of the water, and now you are clean, and you're relegated as being innocent, according to the ancient Near East context of this. But the one thing that happens when you're burned with fire is that you never come out of that. You cannot recover from the utter destruction of fire. That is why Yeshua was in that furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. You see, when we go through the fire, if we don't have the Lord, we're not coming out of it. And that's what that destruction means. That's why the Bible says the Lord walks with us through the fire. Isaiah 43, chapter 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you." When you have profaned the Lord's name by doing the things that the Lord says profane his name, then you are in danger of not being able to walk through the fire and survive it, because you can only do that with him at your side. And when you've profaned him, you no longer have him at your side. In John chapter 15, verse 6, it says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So when we are without the Lord, we cannot recover from the final destruction of the fire, which ends up as being a pile of ashes, a cremation. Now, when the Lord renders this punishment, he does burn the people alive. We've just seen how it turns out when we do it, you know, that Joshua and the children of Israel stoned them first, and then they burned them with fire. But when the Lord renders this burning punishment, this fire punishment, he does it without stoning first. So the way that he does it is different than the way we do it. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Now, this is interesting, because we profane the name of the Lord by not following the Torah. So where do the people turn when they are getting burnt by the Lord? They appeal back to the Torah. They appeal back to Moses. So our profaning has everything to do with how we obey the Torah. In Numbers 16, verse 35, it says, And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. That was those guys, you know, in that Korah incident, you see. In Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So Esau is a profaner of the worst kind. Why? Because Esau was raised in the Torah, and if you read the Quran, you will see how Esau has twisted the Torah, and where it often looks very similar to the Torah. And if you're not paying attention, and if you don't know the Torah really well, you will look at that and say, well, that's in the Bible. Well, this Quran thing, this can't be so different. How's this different? And people are getting confused over it. Because the worst kind of profanation is that you twist the Torah to your own ends. In other words, you make it say what you want it to say, you see, and that's what you do then, rather than letting it say what it really means. Now, we're all guilty of this, and I believe that those who are guilty of this are it's just a mistake. They're just making mistakes. Okay? But Esau knew the Torah, and he twisted the Torah, and now at the end of the age, what we have is his twisted Torah in the Quran. And by the way, his people, because of who they are and the fact that Esau was a Hebrew, his people are actually whores as well. We talk about Catholicism and that whore, but the fact is that people who are following Esau are playing the whore as well. And this fire punishment is reserved for those profaners. And so we see that the Lord will use stones and he will use fire. But when he decides to use fire, he often does not do it with stones. Now, I say it that way because, you know, I've been saying the Lord doesn't use stones, but it's with one caveat. We are going to be stoned on this earth. Part of what hailstones is all about is stoning and fire at the same time. But the Lord is going to send asteroids and other bodies to the earth during the Great Tribulation to kill and then stone. And if you will notice that the Lord has mercy on the daughter of the priest who profanes his name, we've seen the connection now between stoning first and then fire punishment. If the Lord is stoning you, you need to pay attention because his next move is it's going to be the fire. You can sometimes recover from the stoning if you get out of the way and maybe ask the Lord for help and for forgiveness. He will forgive you, you see. Now, they used to stone people until they were dead. Yes, that's true. But I'm saying that at these end of days, it is possible, when you see the stoning start to happen, to cry out. He might still take you, but at least you'll be forgiven. You don't want to get to the point where he's stoning you, you're not asking forgiveness, and now he's going to give you the fire punishment because there is no recovery from that. See, we are at a point in our history of the earth at these end of days where we need to start taking some things a lot more seriously and do what Peter said, which is, you know, to walk in our walk soberly, taking very good care not to do the things that would profane the name of the Lord. Cruelty, having no mercy towards others. Lashon Hara, those all are profaning things, and in fact, they get you leprosy. So there is enough evidence for us to understand what the Lord is trying to do. He gives us blessings, and we're going to be in future Torah portions learning about those blessings, but we also need to be paying attention to His punishments, which are designed to bring us back to Him. Now, the last things I want to talk about regarding the fire is what happens to Satan, the false prophet, death, hell, and the whoring priest's daughter that are all profane. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning fire, burning with brimstone." So, the Lord does burn people alive, as I have just said. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever." So, Satan and the beast and the false prophet get cast in there, but also in Revelation 20 verse 14, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So we have seen that one of the ways that the priests could be profaned was if they attend to the body, the dead body of someone who is not related to them. And with the high priest, it's a little bit different. In Leviticus chapter 21, verse 10, it says that the high priest is not to even be in the presence of death. And as the high priest, we know that Yeshua is our high priest. He is not going to be in the presence of death because he is the God of the living. It says in verse 10, "And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured," Yeshua had anointing oil poured, "and that is consecrated to put on the garments." We know that Yeshua arose with garments. He was given other garments, you know, in the tomb there. "Shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes." Rending clothes has to do with mourning. The high priest cannot mourn. He cannot take off his head covering in mourning. "Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself, even for his father or for his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord." Now, when Yeshua was walking the earth, we know that he touched people that were dead. There was a little girl. He held her hand. She was dead. Some say she was only sleeping. But he was in the presence of Lazarus, who was dead. He came forth. Notice that Yeshua did not pull the grave clothes off of him, yet he was in the presence of death. But remember, he was not the high priest at that time, which is why this here in Leviticus chapter 21 verses 10 to 12 do still apply to Yeshua as the high priest, you see? And in verse 13 it says, he shall take a wife in her virginity. A widow or a divorced woman or profane or a harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. So Yeshua, as the high priest, has to marry a virgin. That is why we see that the 144,000 are called virgins. And the reference to the 10 virgins, which is a reference to the house of Israel, the 10 virgins, the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, they're called virgins. Now, not all of those virgins actually make it into the wedding chamber. They're in the kingdom, but I don't have time to go into all that right now. But there's all this reference to his bride being a virgin, you see, and this is why, because this high priest, the first one was Aaron, but every high priest after him was to be the type and shadow of what our high priest is right now in his throne, in his throne room in the heavens, you see. And so while the Torah does make a way for divorce to happen, the truth is that the priest, no high priest, can marry a divorced woman. And so I am going to end the Torah portion here at this point. I did want to touch on one other thing before I go, because chapter 24 goes back to talking to the people. And it talks to them about bringing the oil for the light in the Mishkan, or in the tabernacle, or later on the temple. And I think that we need to understand what a great responsibility we have to carry that oil within us. See, we bring the oil. The oil is not already there. We have to have that oil within us and bring it to the Mishkan and bring it to the menorah, where the high priest can put our oil in the lamp, in the lampstand, and cause it to burn. We are the oil that causes the light to go out through the world. That's why we have to be so careful about not profaning the Lord's name. And there are so many ways that we can do that. The good news is that I truly believe that we're really doing the very best we can. And for those who are maybe not doing the best we can, you know, the Lord knows all about that, and he's going to take care of that with his people. And so we are going to be blessed with being able to be close to the Lord if we stop profaning his name through our actions. I hope this Torah portion has been a blessing to you. Shabbat Shalom.